Ramble.
Jim Carrey is putting on a clinic, buddy.
Guano.
A guano.
And in this movie, he's basically a live-action cartoon.
Yeah. And I feel like whenever people say anything bad about this movie, they have to fight me. This is the one that I truly take personally.
Welcome to Guilty Pleasures.
Yeah.
Garrick is back.
Yeah.
In Los Angeles.
In the studio.
LA.
What up? About to lay down fucking hot tracks, baby.
What's crazy is that Garrick came here to record and he was looking around and I'm like, okay, yeah, man. I mean, we moved around some furniture a little bit. He's like, no, this is the first time I've been at the studio
that
at all.
Feels false.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, never been
that
here.
That feels crazy. That's never how been long here. It's been.
I just love a cement floor building, you know?
You can't Every pronounce time, it cement.
Yeah, cement. Is it? Do you guys not say cement? You guys say cement? Yeah, say cement. Okay, that's fine.
It depends on who I'm talking to.
Yeah. It really, I do switch up. I never switch up vase and vase. I'll never say vase in my life. If you say vase, you're a prissy little bitch.
I do, and I am.
Oh, God. There it is. As you sit cross-legged. Yeah,
In fact, I am a prissy bitch, and I do love calling it a vase.
No, it's great. It makes it feel more fancy. But I'll switch up cement and cement. Because my parents
say
cement.
What's that fucking word? Caramel or caramel?
Mm-mm. It's always caramel.
Caramel.
But then what's the delight?
I can hear caramel. That's what it was. Or just like, caramel. I can say it.
Feels wrong.
Where it doesn't feel weird off
you guys,
the tongue.
This is the problem when we haven't been together for so many weeks.
Yeah,
we've
gotta talk
diverted.
About stuff.
What the
that's
fuck?
That's true. No, that's a great point. One more though. Your mom's sister is your
what?
Your mom's sister.
Oh, aunt.
Your aunt.
Ah. You know what's funny is that my aunt, I call Aunt Lisa.
Ah, yeah.
But she's my aunt.
No, it's I say
I would never say Aunt Lisa. Ugh.
Yeah, I don't say I say
what are you fucking rich aunt, over there, you guys?
Yeah, aunt, I say auntie.
Ooh, I like auntie.
Or I say aunt.
But this auntie is also aunt. Is fun.
Yeah, auntie. Nah, because like the accent that you have to say.
You're really digging deep for this.
I really am. Because I hear it more so auntie, but in with just like because my parents have accents and
Miles in
post
production right now is like cutting this
out of there. Wait, Rick, your parents have accents?
Yeah, they have accents.
Wait, what? What accents do they have?
They speak patois and shit.
No shit.
No way.
Yeah, dog.
We haven't met your parents.
We haven't met my parents.
I'm waiting for the invite.
My mom can switch in and out of it. Because of her job, she needs to be professional and all that bullshit. And then my dad, he's just like full on Trini.
Professional.
Trini.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
Garrick is back in Los Angeles. Kelsey is off in the woods with Spotty service.
She's in the woods.
I'm in the woods doing wood shit.
But she said, I will, no matter where I am, I will be here for this. Guys, they were talking about Ace Ventura, When Nature Calls, the sequel to Ace Ventura, Pet Detective.
All righty then.
The only one. Fuck the first movie. This is the only Ace Ventura movie.
No, fuck the first
one.
Fuck the first movie.
Really?
I've seen the first movie.
It sucks.
Two or three times, right? I've seen the first movie two or three times. I have seen this upwards of 100 times.
Yes.
No exaggeration. It was one of the few VHSs that I had at home, as I've said multiple times on this podcast. And it created who I am as a person.
Wow.
I think that Jim Carrey is one of the greatest comedic actors of all time, if not the best.
Yep.
And I feel like whenever people say anything bad about this movie, they have to fight me. This is the one that I truly take personally. I will take it personal. It doesn't make any sense to me that you would not like the movie, and I would judge you if you didn't.
Oh, wow.
Truly.
Really setting the stage here.
Really setting the stage.
I know this movie so well, I can literally see the logo on the VHS tape and like... I know the parts that were on our VHS that like skipped and made the lines go like across the TV and we still because we wound it so many times with our fingers and shit. And my sister literally goes, "This is my favorite movie. Can I sit in the room while you do the podcast?" And I was like, "You won't be able to hear anything." So she's not here. But
she's just off
camera.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this truly is, I think, why maybe Rick, you as well. I am so immature with comedy because
wanting to get into comedy, like, in the first place. This was it.
Watching like Jim Carrey be an absolute like maniac. All I kept thinking about when watching this again last night was, I feel so fucking bad for Gen Z because they will never truly know.
They'll never know the effort, the time, and nobody's really going for it like he was in this movie. Maybe him in the Sonic movie, you know, that's about as close. But he's like, he's a little older now, so he can't do a lot of the movements and stuff, but oh my God.
I'm floored. My jaw is open for several reasons right now.
What?
Okay.
Because I had no idea that this movie meant so much to either of you, let alone both of you.
Yeah.
I was texting with Garrick about his grand return to LA, his first time in studio in months, and I said, what movie?
Yeah.
And he was like, Goofy movie. No, wait, this movie. Wait, no.
Goofy movie.
My God. And he's like, I got it. Ace Ventura, when you got, but I didn't know what it meant. To you. And also, I feel like both of you steadfastly asserting that it is better than the first one.
It is better than the first one.
And fuck the first one. That is an unpopular opinion.
Yeah, I think.
Really?
Well, the first one has, I mean, its main thing is like a trans situation, right?
That is part of the ending, which is not fun.
Unfortunate, yeah.
And it's like a dolphin. It's like,
has
that's
not aged
fun.
Well.
Yeah.
Well, the first one is iconic, right? It has like Laces Out Dan. It has the football tie-in. And I remember the first one a lot better. In fact, I basically was watching this movie fresh for the first time.
Oh, my God.
Like. Okay. I remembered a rhino giving birth to him,
which is
incredible,
truly funny.
But the rest was very fuzzy in my memory. Yeah. I mean, I probably saw this in theaters. I was a child. I probably left to pee three times, wanted popcorn, whatever.
Right.
Like,
nah, this was before theaters for me, baby. Yeah, I was in the TV room, just sitting there.
I don't know, the TV room.
The living room.
And you just had the VHS slot and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was just super close to the TV to the point where my parents would be like, you gotta move back.
And you know, that was all false. You can't, like, your vision doesn't get fucked up if you sit super close to the TV.
It's a lot of shit before the internet, you know?
Can I tell you, my buddy brought his PlayStation over, like his old PS4, so we could play Fall Guys, which is a delight. Let's fuck with that. His controller wasn't charged, so I had to plug it in and sit in front of the TV like I was 11 again.
Yeah.
And the nostalgia of sitting cross-legged on the floor, playing, like, staring up at a TV that is so real, and I love it.
It makes shit so much better.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I'm really actually curious how you're going to give the log line to this one, because I would like to hear it as if the first one didn't exist. Like, I would really just like to hear it for anyone who's never heard of or seen Ace Ventura at all.
Yeah.
Just like, what is it?
So if you have not seen Ace Ventura, When Nature Calls, I will say that the plot is somewhat secondary to the antics.
It really is.
Which is fine. Which is understandable. Because Jim Carrey is putting on a clinic, buddy. He is going for it so hard to where you're just like, I'm just going to sit back and watch him do his due.
I didn't know.
Who gives a shit? I had no idea.
I didn't know what's going on. I literally asked Jared. I've watched this movie 100 times like you, Rick. And I had to ask Jared. I was like, wait, so who's that? Why does he have to find the thing? And who's that guy?
Right.
The premise is too smart. It's too smart.
It's too smart for what the movie is. Truly.
For child.
Because like I was getting jokes that I hadn't gotten because I haven't seen this movie in like 15 years.
Dude.
So I was sitting there dying. I didn't know he was beating off in the corner.
Me neither.
I had no idea. I was like,
how about the whole fucking gorilla R word scene that happens?
Right. Yeah.
We can't.
All right. I'm sorry.
Both of those are points that must be explored, but I guess we can put a pin in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do the log line.
Okay. Ace Ventura, of course, is the world's greatest pet detective, a man who understands and loves animals truly. Pet detective. Pet detective.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launcher online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
He is hired by a consulate somewhere in Africa. I didn't catch where. I don't know.
Doesn't matter. It's all of Africa.
Vaguely Africa.
I mean, they don't know.
Yeah. Where a tribe has had their sacred bat stolen.
The Wachatis.
And so Ace must find the bat to prevent two tribes from going to war. But we do find out that it's because a villain wanted to push the natives out of the cave so that he could extract the bat poop for money.
Oil.
That's right, baby. Colonialism is alive and well.
Yeah, like Ace that's a deep cut. That is a deep log line.
Yeah, it's great. This movie should be called premise. Ace Ventura, These White Men Are Dangerous. Oh my God. Oh, I love this
thing.
Movie.
Here's the thing. Okay, like just to start out, I'm just going right in with Guilty Pleasures. It was like,
yeah.
I remember, like as soon as I was like, oh yeah, fuck, we're going to see a lot
of
George of the Jungle shit where I'm going to be like, oh man. But like there was some redemption in that the white man is the villain.
Yeah.
He does call him out. And I forgot that he fully punches a white man and then wears the man like a scarf around his shoulders.
Yes, the Monopoly man. And then I was like,
so wait, okay. If people don't know that moment, yeah. Ace as a...
Because if you hear it, it sounds like gobbledygook. Yeah. It sounds like we're insane.
Ace is a bleeding heart for animals, and so he sees a woman at this rich soiree wearing a fox fur, and she goes, well, you should try it sometime, darling. And he goes, okay, punches her husband in the face, knocks him out, slings him over his shoulder.
Activist. And wears
this tiny man like a shawl around the party. And it, as is true with almost every bit in this movie, really milks it for a full 90 seconds.
I love every scene. He's just chewing the fuck out of the scenery. I love it.
I could have watched another hour. Put another hour to the time frame of this movie. It was glorious. And that was
Hours and 33 minutes.
That was my overarching pleasure was like, yes, it doesn't stand the test of time like a lot of our favorites do, but the comedy is so, it's so baked into the movie that I did not count more than 15 seconds without a joke. Physical comedic moment.
And I think that's very much lost to things nowadays where they're just like, nah, it's all
grounded.
It's all story. All of this stuff is grounded. We're not doing any funny faces. And then you skip to Jim Carrey or that one clip where he's in an interview and some kid came up to him and was like, hey, how long was the Grinch makeup? He was like, makeup? I do that shit with my face. And he makes a fucking Grinch face. And you're like, oh God, like people just don't have control over their faces like he does anymore.
As a comedic actor, he is
too much Botox.
Yeah. I mean, as you said, maybe second to none in what he can do physically as a comedian. And in this movie, he's basically a live action cartoon.
Yeah.
There's the jokes of the movie. And then there's just the comedy of him. And I want to talk about both, but some of the stuff that he did, like the way that he walks, the little,
like
he bobs his head as he goes. Garrick and I are both doing it if you're watching on YouTube, but
that's the Night at the Roxbury shit.
Oh, nice.
That's a Night at the Roxbury. I saw some kid on TikTok is doing it now in like the streets of Manhattan. Oh my and I God. Fucking love it. He's just walking out and it's so fun. But
he's basically, I mean, the movie opens with him scaling a mountain.
Yeah.
He sees a little baby bird. He mama birds yep. regurgitated worms into the bird's yep, mouth.
Of course.
And then tries to save a raccoon's life.
Yeah.
And the raccoon dies.
The raccoon dies and that sends him into a spiral. And now he's like.
Mm-hmm. My one guilt that I had besides like the premise was too thick for a child skull was that the raccoon did not get paid enough. I guarantee you.
The raccoon acting is phenomenal.
It's great. It's great. All of the zoo, all the punch-ins on the raccoon's face are crazy. He's like, oh, no.
Like, and the raccoon is fucking acting as if he is falling off a mountain.
Yeah.
He's on a green screen. Like, so granted, he wasn't in any danger. But this motherfucker was hanging by a tiny raccoon harness and giving me
so cute.
Face, emotion, highs, lows. And I was like, this is a real animal that they are using, which you also don't see anymore. Everything is CGI to high heaven and nothing is fucking...
They in the climax of this movie, they have an elephant burst through a wall like the fucking Kool-Aid Man.
Uh-huh.
And all I'm sitting there thinking, how did they train that elephant to do that? It's amazing.
No, man. They just said go. And then he just went
there
through the wall.
There was no rules. This was like no pre-PETA.
I mean, so one thing that I really loved about this movie is that it refuses to let any moment of exposition go by without stupidity.
Yes.
And so there, to Kelsey's point before, like the denseness of this plot of stealing the bad and all that, like there's a lot to get through.
Yeah.
And Jim Carrey is not interested in it
at all.
For a moment.
At all. No. And he sets it up in the beginning of the film when he's doing the initial exposition and explaining my guy's name and explaining why he's being hired. And he's just eating sunflowers and doing fucking Sean Connery, not Sean Connery.
Twilight Zone references on the plane.
On the plane. And fucking, it's just great.
The one that made me laugh the hardest is there's a scene in a projector room.
Yeah.
And he starts making little shadow puppets.
Yeah.
And the guy like... little crocodile. And the guy who's giving the presentation is fed up because he's been doing this for like the whole day now. And then Jim Carrey slowly puts his hands up and starts tweaking his nipples. You can't not laugh at that.
Guess what the first thing Jared did to me today when I woke up was?
Great. I was like,
I can't believe that this movie truly transports every single person back to their 12-year-old brain.
Yeah.
That's what it does.
And I think, you know what it is? And I think it's because Jim Carrey plays him like what a child wants to be when they grow up.
Yeah.
He is just a giant kid. The way he acts in every scenario in this movie, Ace is a fucking kid.
Yeah.
You're so happy.
I'm so happy. I can't even analyze it as a critic.
We're certainly not that.
We're not that. No, but I can't even analyze it outside of the enjoyment.
He's even like a child in the most serious of situations, right? Like, so you open up, he's like scaling the mountain thing. He drops the raccoon. So he's like, he's fucked up in the head. So he has to go to a monastery with monks up in the mountains. And even there, he becomes like the most ridiculous. I mean, I don't know if it's offensive. Right. I don't really know monks like that. I did meet a monk in Venice. That's another story.
It wasn't a monk. It was a dude.
This movie does fall into something the 90s loved, which was the enlightened Asian trope.
Yes.
Right. So I loved how they were all happy when he was leaving.
When he left. So that's what I liked. Party. Is anytime there was something where you're like, ah, god damn it, this isn't like today. You're like, oh, but wait, there's more that maybe makes it like laughable for everyone. I don't know. I'm probably saying
it's like
that
they're making fun of it.
Okay. You know what? Here's what I'm gonna do because you love this movie so deeply. Yes. I'm just gonna ask some questions.
Yes.
So. Ooh. And this is for both of you, I guess.
Hell yeah.
So did you quote this movie as a kid? And
all
what?
Of the
every day.
Fucking time.
Guano.
Guano. Die, devil bird. Like that type of shit. It was constant. It was truly constant. And I memorized a lot of like the punchlines in the movie.
If you did not say, okay, then, okay, now, bye-bye then, when you were...
Yeah. Yeah.
Bye bye then.
The first Chicago scene.
Oh my God. Chicago.
Shawshank Redemption. Chicago. You're out of here. Go on.
And now, who are you doing? Is this like you and your brother, you and your friends?
Anybody that would listen. Truly anybody that would listen. I remember the last scene where he's running away. Whenever I played like football with friends, I would do that shit as like my touchdown dance, like running into the
tunnel.
Just putting my arms
out. That's the thing is like his body is like a fucking Gumby doll. Yeah. I rewound the credits, A, because I'm a fucking nerd like that, but also I just want to see how many locations and people. They had a physical therapist on every different location because I was like, this man just contorts his body into ways that you're like, oh, you fucking know when he gets hit by the blow darts in the jungle and he falls and he literally has like dirt and leaves in his face. You're like,
right.
This man gave that every fucking take.
He did that. The scene where he does get like a blow dart in each arm and they're dead and he's just like flailing around. Like,
three darts. I
still do that shit to this day. And then I just remembered after watching the movie where I got it from. It's just in me.
Every single day, Jared says this line that we did not realize came from this movie until last night. And it's when he's parking and he goes, like a glove. And we fucking clue.
Oh,
that's the
God.
Beauty of this movie is you're going to realize shit that people say that are your friends. You're going to be like, oh my God, this is from that fucking 90s VHS comedy that like nobody has anymore.
And I think it came with our TV. Like it was like a Costco combo deal or some shit like that.
What a bargain.
Where it's just
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It was like, buy this TV and Ace Ventura 2 because...
You got to play something on it.
Right. I don't think it did well, which is fine. I don't know.
I forgot to say, Rick, you already know this story, and anyone, the guilty whores who have listened to this know this too, is that last week I accidentally watched Liar Liar, which is also a fucking Jim Carrey highlight. So I was
we kept it in family.
You were
just ahead of the curve, you know? The one that I didn't realize was from this movie that I have done is, and I fucking love it, at the climax, he drops this big bombshell and he goes, let me run that back for you. And he rewinds himself and then does the same line again. It's really funny. But
That's the other thing about this plot is like there is twists and turns because it really does lead you down this path that it sets you up where he finally comes out of retirement or whatever, like spiritual enlightenment, to go to Africa and like basically investigate these tribes that are missing their bat, and then it wants you to believe it's the other tribe and there's gonna be this big tribe off, and then where the like twist comes in is so like what's the word I'm looking for, it's such a payoff that you're like, I allow it and I believe it because I didn't like that fucking guy from the start, and I don't know why, even though he had a classic villain mustache and British American accent, I didn't like him to begin with.
Because I mean, the first interaction he has, he whips him, which is one of the funniest parts of the movie. Where he's like,
because the guy, what he whips his
he whips
horse
the horse, and he was like, oh, I, you know,
so Jim does it to him and painful. Goes ah,
didn't seem that painful when you're doing it to the horse.
I feel like this movie must have made kids love and respect animals to a degree that we all should. And I feel like as you get older then you lose it, and that's a damn shame. But this movie said, you know what, we share this fucking planet. How dare you treat animals like they're subservient to you.
And you know what I love about this one, which I also forgot, is that they made number one the movie, the first movie, so again, like, he's such a lover of animals that in this one they surprise you by making him have to hunt down the one animal animal that he fucking hates, which
it's
is a bat.
So funny. Like, you didn't say anything about that.
And like, he gets all the way to Africa and the guy's like, yeah, we're finding a missing bat. What did you think we were coming here for? And Jim Carrey has to like fight this disgusting feeling he has about bats, which is so funny to me because he's this guy that literally will whip a guy with his own fucking horse whip,
right,
in order to prove a point.
And also, like,
this was before he was in Batman, right? Because if it was after, that would be incredible.
Oh,
when he was the Riddler, let me check
him in Batman.
This is the same year as Batman. A delight.
Yeah. Where you can just take his hatred of bats from one movie to the other.
Yeah, it's all canon. Great. Ace Ventura loses his mind at the end of this movie, becomes the Riddler.
Yeah.
It is fact.
Yeah.
Here's the biggest question I had when watching this movie, again, as an adult.
Yeah.
No, that's not true. The second biggest question.
Okay.
What was the first?
The second biggest question is who is this movie for? And what I mean by that is that he plays it like a kid. It's very
animated.
Kid-like.
Yeah.
You clearly, as a child, adored this movie.
Of course.
There is a lot of very adult stuff in this movie.
It feels like the same thing as a lot of, I mean, weirdly, Pixar movies where they have adult jokes.
Yes, it's all Disney and Pixar.
Okay.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean. And I know what you're getting at, where it's just like, it's a little too vulgar and too like in your face adult.
This movie has they talk a lot about virginity.
Yeah,
he at the end, it turns
which
out, secretly took the princess's virginity.
Yeah. You can't take virginity. It's not a thing to be taken. Sorry, I'll stop.
Yes, but the movie says that. But I do appreciate the correction, Kelsey.
We
cut to him jerking off furiously in his hut.
Didn't know that.
Huh? Yeah, yeah.
Didn't know that was what he was doing.
On the airplane, when we first meet him, she says peanut, and he thinks that she says penis, and he talks about how his is well-sized.
Yeah, I got one right here.
Got
it's
one right here.
It's a little bulky, but I consider it a carry-on.
Which is blatant sexual harassment. Don't love to see that from you, Ace.
No.
And then the inference, did I get this right? At the end, the bad guy, villain, is in the jungle, comes across a gorilla.
Yep.
Yes.
The gorilla smiles.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
The music cue is as the bush shakes.
Right.
And I believe that we are supposed to infer that the man is now
being
the gorilla
sexually
is
assaulted.
Having sex. Yes, thank you. By a gorilla. That is the ending, we all agree.
Yes. Yes.
This movie ends with a gorilla.
And call me crazy, but truly, it didn't bother me that the man who he was a hunter of big game exotic animals and hung them around his fucking mansion in Africa gets, you know, fucked by a gorilla. Like, I'm okay with that as a woman. I'm like, you know what?
I still have a crush on Sophie Okonedo. I don't know if
the princess.
Yeah, I'm pronouncing her name right. But like, she has dimples. Like, I don't know. That's a weird thing to like when you have them. But I'm just like, no, a girl with dimples immediately. Of course. Like, it's the wanting to see yourself in your mate type of thing. Maybe it's a little narcissistic of me.
You have dimples.
That's what I'm saying. I have dimples and I like girls with dimples. Sequoia has dimples.
Now I have one dimple. Does that do it for you?
That does do it for me.
I have one dimple too.
Yeah, there it is.
I have one.
I can't see it. It's too blurry.
God damn it. I'll fucking send a picture and it not be weird. Yeah. Yeah, that girl, though, what I liked about their relationship is that she truly played like a fling. Like, there was no connection beyond like lighthearted
she was just
flirting.
Like, I'm just trying to fuck so that I can fuck the person next better. Yeah. Like, she was like, I mean, I'm going to be bad at this. I'm not going to be able to please him.
And then she drops her tunic.
Yeah.
Yes.
Reveals her breasts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go ahead and say not enough of her.
No,
I wanted more of that character.
Not enough of her at all.
I'm confident they filmed more scenes with her and they were like, it's either love story or more of Ace humping the air. And they were like, people, they want what they fucking want. Yeah. We can't give a love story.
Yeah. The scene that I sent you where he's parasailing behind the car.
Garrick sent us so many audio and video clips of him just giggling. And it's wait, not Garrick, this laugh that you're hearing.
No.
It's a high pitch.
Yeah. Like a because it's just a giddiness. I'll do the yak.
Do the yak.
Now. Yak. 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 It's the last yak at the end.
Yo,
that, like, always.
The amount of times I have done that on a fucking airplane. And yes, I feel like flight attendants are like, I thought we were done with this. I thought we were done doing this.
I would always roll up a little, like, whatever, like the travel bag.
Magazine.
Yeah. Oh, wait, Kelsey, was it the flight attendants that said we thought we were done with this?
Yeah.
Oh, so the flight attendants know that reference and they were like, they're getting it all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Or when they're passing out peanuts, that's probably why they switched to fucking chips and shit.
United had like Delta had a
sexual harassment fucking claims up the wazoo.
Right, they just have Ace Ventura's face with a circle and a cross out. Yeah. It's just like, don't
fuck,
please just
guy.
Don't do it.
All right, guys, we're gonna start serving Terra chips because Ace Ventura fucking ruined peanuts for us.
But yeah, in that parasailing scene,
what is happening?
So he's following a truck. And he unnecessarily attaches himself to the back of a car so that he can just get the license plate. He could have zoomed in from the floor to see the license plate number or whatever. But for whatever reason, that reason probably being Jim Carrey
antics,
he parasails behind it. Or it's maybe it's a reference to a spy film that we don't know about.
Yeah, maybe. It's too deep. It's too fucking deep. That was one thing I missed about this movie, too, is I was hoping for some outtakes after the credits, like how they did Liar, Liar. God. Oh, yeah. I wonder if we can find those on YouTube somewhere or something, because I will watch Jim Carrey I'll watch him read the Bible or the dictionary, whatever the most boring, unbelievable shit is.
But the thing that sucks with like bloopers, I don't think he's the type to break.
I don't think he would. In fact, I bet you this wasn't a funny set at all.
No, I bet this was like a lot of people just reacting to his stupidity.
Y'all gotta watch the
serious.
Liar Liar outtakes, because there's one time where he breaks and it's when they're having a shouting match and the other actress calls him, like speaks, like goes off script and goes, over actor, and he like tries to still say his line, and then he's like, he like hears it and it hurts him, and he just loses his shit, and he's like, oh my god, you're on to me, they're on to me, and then he makes it a That's bit in good. Itself but oh that was going to be my question. As people in this industry, I am heavily medicated. I know you guys do after school activities. Where does his fucking energy come from? Is it natural?
So like it's just him.
I believe it's natural.
From what I've heard, or like every interview that I've seen, he's just been like, oh, I was really just trying to get my family out of this barn, and then like his dad was dying, I believe.
Oh god.
During this whole situation while he was a kid. Oh. And he would make like faces and be like very energetic in what we see on screen right now to make his dad's like death easier. Like, it's pretty
a true
grim
comedy. The tragedy of comedy is that all of us do it out of like a deep place of fucked upery, I guess.
It's funny you say that, because I don't know much about Jim Carrey's personal life, but as I'm watching this, I couldn't escape the feeling that you don't get such highs of comedy like that without personal life lows.
Right.
And knowing that behind him giving 1,020%, like just everything in his essence, I know that there's probably profound sadness behind those eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like there's definitely a cocaine come down. Like that is coming from his body naturally.
To come
down that amount
of
like serotonin, or what's the oxytocin? Like he has depleted of that by now, I'm sure. Like that might have been why we hadn't seen him once he hit a certain age, right?
Well, and he also, like, he at this era, and we'll get into a little bit in the fun facts, like he was getting a little sick of the shtick that he was stuck in.
Right.
And that's why after this, we saw what to me is actually the best Jim Carrey era. Like, this led into The Truman Show and Man on the Moon.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I'm going to be even more serious. He tried to do The Majestic. Sunshine. Everyone ridiculed him. The movie totally fucking bombed. But then we got Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, which is the single greatest film of the last 20 years.
Jesus.
It's
the greatest fucking movie of all time.
Thank you,
Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey's made so many great movies. Holy
fuck.
He's
just been in our lives for and in the background, and I don't think he gets his flowers enough. Like, at all.
No.
Here's some flowers, Jim.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jim.
This generation doesn't, like, know him because he really did kind of dip out for a minute.
Right.
And then imagine the Sonic the Hedgehog movie being the first time you fucking
you
get
see
to
him,
experience it.
And everybody's like, you love Jim Carrey? The dude from the Sonic movie? Yes. Yeah. I love him to death. I watched that movie 3 times because he was finally doing his thing again.
And because it was from the producers of Fast and Furious.
Oh, yes, that as well.
Whew, and that's, put that together.
That's a holy trinity. And he's like, and we got a blue thing going fast. That's all I needed.
You know, unpopular opinion. I think they should have kept the teeth.
Well. But, okay, I got to say this story, this parasailing thing.
I thought you had.
Oh,
okay,
wow.
No,
sorry.
No. We went for like a church youth trip or whatever. We went to Catalina to go parasailing.
Love Catalina.
Wow, rich.
It was fun.
You went to rich camp.
I did not go to rich camp.
Catalina is the Amalfi Coast of California, for those who don't know.
This was a day trip, and it took a few years of saving. So, no, but we went out, and it was me, a couple other kids, and my cousin, who I also watched this movie a lot with. And I don't know if anybody's ever been parasailing with a boat, but they attach the parachute to you, and then they crank you out. Like, they just, like, you go out, and then they just, like, unravel or unreel this thing. And as I was going out, I looked my cousin in the eye, and I did, like, that little, like, little back shit. And the way he laughed... truly, like, just that was one of the best laughs I've ever gotten in my entire life.
Wow.
It sent me on this discovery path of just being like, I need to just be funny because the way this made me feel.
Oh my God.
It was great. So
in that moment, Garrick said, I will be a stand-up comedian.
But honestly, it was like you have this on your VHS, and then my like moment of that, Rick, is like watching all that and then like recreating those scenes line for line on my VHS and then like putting my VHS in and being like, I'm a movie star. And then like, I never thought of comedy also being like a pretty thing. I was always like, you can't be afraid to look ugly. You can't be afraid to be like grotesque and rude and gross and farting and burping. And I think that like fucked me up a little bit because it probably lasted in my comedy a little too long to be like accepted by society.
No, it just changed. It just switched on us because I mean, we still had like Raven Simone doing her shit in Raven's Home. And all of, I mean, a lot of like the Nickelodeon.
This is the second episode in a row we've mentioned Raven Simone.
A lot of the Nickelodeon live action kids and a lot of the Disney live action kids. And then it just switched on us. It switched over to the writing of and like delivering a line and delivering.
Mm-hmm. Then you get into the Judd Apatow era.
Yeah. Where it's just like, it's the words. It's not so much, it's the joke of it. Not so much the comedic performance that you put on everything.
Yes.
Well, it's
physical
a lot more
comedy now.
And that, it went out of vogue.
Yeah. And that's fine. It's coming back a little bit.
Is it?
Is nice. Yeah.
I imagine that it travels a lot better internationally because it is so physical.
Yeah, right.
Some I feel like we should bring some physical global comedy back, you guys.
We were talking about quoting as a kid. I'm just looking through my notes. And there was one line, spank you, helpy helperton. Yeah. And I could imagine a kid saying that. And if my kid ever said that to me, I would slap him.
Really?
I would be like, I've done you right.
I was like, oh my God, if I had a kid walking around quoting that, so fun.
Yeah.
As an adult with a kid, a nightmare.
Disrespectful.
Just the nightmare of all nightmares.
Yeah.
So I guess my biggest question while I was watching this movie, the number one, and I hate to bring the dark cloud of guilt over what is just a delightful, meaningful film for you guys, but is this a loving and or positive depiction of Africa?
No.
God
no,
damn it. I thought we were all avoiding it. I thought we were all just okay. not saying anything.
No, it is not. It is also talking about the colonialism of Africa. Sure. So it's just like, oh, we're calling attention to a certain thing. I don't like the portrayal of the Wachutus at all.
Yep.
Because it's just like, oh, they're savages. Look at them. Violent. They don't even brush their teeth. That's crazy. But
yeah.
On the other half of things, the Wachatis were just like, oh, yeah, this is, you know, a tribe. They're normal people.
It was normal.
Yeah, they don't need to be taught anything. They know English.
Right.
You know,
right.
We're fine.
They're like actually teaching him a lot.
A lot of stuff.
How to be a better person.
Yeah. It wasn't a lot, which was great. It wasn't a lot of, oh, my God, I'm wearing a shirt. So that means that I get to talk to you any kind of way.
Right,
and that
right.
type of humor, that type of like punch downy humor.
Yeah.
He was always the butt of the joke in both scenarios, mm-hmm. which is what mm-hmm. made it a little less uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah, I guess the thing that I feared watching it is like, because like when Ace first comes in, they speak in their native tongue.
Yeah.
And he goes like, he just makes fun of it. He just goes like, la-ba-da-ba-doom-ding-da.
Right, right, right.
And I'm like, does this movie give permission to little white kids
to make fun of black kids
and like
right.
say that,
and say
you know,
these dumb things.
Of course.
And the answer is probably,
it probably did. Yeah.
It's your fucking parents that stop that shit. So if you had shitty parents, then yeah, you're a fucking shitty kid
who didn't understand. Movies do have some responsibility for that too, like especially ones targeted towards kids.
Yeah.
And cigarettes. Look at what happened. Cigarettes are only cigarettes because of the cinema, but go
they
on.
They look cool.
They
but
do
on the
look
other
cool.
hand, I have a hunch and I wonder, is this the first or one of the first movies where you as a young kid saw an African tribe like take as part of the movie, right? Like
yeah, but then Sophie Georgia was the bad jungle. As shit. And I was like, I don't give a fuck. Like, look at how cute she is. No, I'm kidding. Yeah.
No, and I mean that in a positive. Like, there weren't many movies that took place in Africa for us as kids. So.
No, not at all.
I don't know if that's exciting.
It's also not exciting because it's just like, oh, is this the only way that we can be depicted on camera?
Yeah. I felt like there was a lot of movies that portrayed Africa as just like a stereotypical African way. Like, I was like, oh, there clearly wasn't like a research assistant on this movie who was probably saying like, that's not the right color they wear, or that's not the headdress or whatever. Like, I feel like that was an overarching issue that we had in 90s movies, especially kids movies, is it was just like, this is a place and this is what the people are like. And we went, okay, that's okay.
That's
what
enough.
It is. And again,
that's
unless
part of why
parents,
I think Kelsey and I, as like dumb white kids, it took us so long to like, we knew, okay, there's the Americas, there's Europe, and then there's Africa. Like,
as a whole.
Like, there's so many fucking dumb white kids who thought Africa was just one country.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah, that's,
didn't know the diversity and the makeup of all the different places in it. And
And I think that's like, that's why, like, this movie is one of those things that I think if you watch it as an adult who watched it as a kid, you're like more forgiving.
Yeah.
Versus 100%. If you were to watch this now as a teen, you'd be like, what the fuck?
Or, I mean, I don't know how much they get away with, you know, like I really do question that if like somebody from the outside looking in didn't grow up with it, watched it, how would they genuinely react?
Ooh,
well,
hey,
that was my
guilty horse.
Yeah, yours
is
just like, you're just like, oh, this is gross. Or, okay.
They made a joke about how the colony had never gotten sick until the white men came. And then Jim Carrey sneezes on someone's face.
Right.
And watching that joke now, also post-COVID, I was like, ooh, that is too far, sir.
Yeah.
That joke is too much.
Yeah. But even then, I was just like, white people bring diseases. Like, that.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's
what
the
happens.
Underlying message.
Yeah, right.
We fuck up everything.
If the joke never truly lands on the natives at all.
Yes. And like, not to bring being in Yellowstone into this, but because I'm in Yellowstone, like, I can't help but constantly have the conversation with like my family or any other like white people we get around, which is like, let's be honest, fucking 90% of this place, of being like, wow, look how beautiful this is. Can you believe we fucking took this from someone? Like, some guy was just up on
people?
A mountain, like participating in his beautiful ritual, and we just came over the hill with fucking horses and we're like, ours now. And then Teddy Roosevelt was like, we are going to preserve this with like no history and balance to this. And then in every gift shop, there's like this tiny section that's like, and here's our Native American culture, and here's like what they bring in the design, and da 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 da. And you're kind of just like, I don't believe you.
We got a Quincy Ocha, where we just got a term for white devil in another language. The amount of white kids I called that shit.
Hell yeah.
It's just, did he just say the white devil, the white devil?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Well,
okay. You speak Wachutu?
If for nothing else, then the movie gave you that gift.
It gave me that gift.
That is beautiful.
Right.
Amen.
I got some fun facts.
Let's hear them.
The movie was written and directed by one Steve Oderkirk, who is Jim Carrey's best friend.
Nice.
And I didn't know that.
That's and very cool.
What I know him as is the writer, director, and star of Kung Pao Enter the Fist.
Oh, fuck.
Which is, for my money,
that genius.
For my money, maybe the funniest movie I ever saw in theaters. And I'm not certain if it holds up, and it probably doesn't.
It probably does not.
But man, oh man, did that man make me laugh.
Yeah.
Another movie that probably has questionable portrayals of its people. Yeah. But, oh well. That really blew my mind.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah.
Do you guys believe writer directors? Like, I have to imagine, like, to be a writer and then also be able to direct that thing is such a fucking...
Oh, and like direct yourself?
Well, not even direct yourself, just being a writer director, I feel like...
Oh, yeah. No, I believe writer director is 100%. I think that's a hand in hand thing where it's just like the whole time that you're writing it, you are kind of directing it in your head.
What I'm trying to be, right. Dog.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to be. And everything I give away gets directed by somebody else.
Here's what I believe in writer directors, obviously. Here's the one thing I do not believe emphatically. The auteur theory is bullshit.
Yeah, I don't believe in that.
No such thing. No one person makes a movie by themselves. You can be a great voice that brings a lot of people and has them align on a vision, but... Right. To say that, only you made this movie, man, go fuck off. There's so many talented people.
Right.
Even the way that the actors say the lines changes things.
Right.
Some bullshit. Before this director was brought on, filmmaker Spike Jonze expressed interest in directing.
Oh.
But Jim Carrey didn't know him well enough, ended up not choosing him. Carrey has since said that is one of his biggest regrets.
Of course.
Spike Jonze, of course, directed Where the Wild Things Are, Her, Being John Malkovich.
Yeah. It would have been a very different movie.
I can't imagine what it would have been.
It would have been the weirdest movie, but also
I'm actually glad hilarious. It was Jim Carrey's best friend, because I feel like there's a comfortability that you have.
Yeah, and then it's silly. You know, if it's a
Spike
dude that
Jonze
made Kung Pao,
it's
as
shit.
Silly as possible. Yeah.
So this one may shock you guys. Jim Carrey only did this movie due to a contractual obligation. And he was not happy about it.
Yeah. You can tell. You can tell. He's not phoning it in, but he's just like, if you give me a note, I will walk off this set right now.
Yes.
I'm going
to
do the most insane shit. And and you better put it all in. You better. I'm just gonna leave it all out there.
But what was he unhappy about with it? Because he just didn't want to fulfill the contract.
He didn't want to do that.
He was unhappy with the movie.
He didn't want to do silly shit anymore.
Yeah. Well, and they said so. He realized they've tried to get him to do Ace Ventura's after this, since this, forever. And this movie made him realize he did not want to spend his entire life doing Ace Ventura movies. According to one of the actors, he really didn't want to make it, which made the onset very awkward for everyone. And one of the reasons that Jim Carrey said that he dislikes the sequel is that he doesn't like that Ace is afraid of bats, something that we all found very funny. He tried to find other versions. He tried to convince them to change the script. He wanted to make him so that Ace was allergic to bats, which I think maybe would have made for a much funnier climax if his face was all puffing up.
Right.
Yeah.
But
he fucking did the not liking bats thing so fucking strong though.
Yeah,
then.
That's crazy. That makes me respect
that's
him
crazy.
Even more. That
yes,
he didn't want
to
do
it.
Hated
he
it.
Hated certain parts of
and
it.
So
and still
fucking
just went for
fuck
it.
Out
like,
of it.
He gave every time is like one of the most memorable moments. So like you're so right. That fucking makes me respect him more. That he fucking was like, I don't want to do this shit. Fuck you. You're supposed to be my best friend and fuck you just because you're a network fucking executive here.
Yeah.
And then he goes on camera and is like, good
fuck
for him.
You and
the
here's the greatest comedic experience of the 90s.
Okay.
Carrie was also nervous about the film's depiction of African characters and that people might take offense. He's even surprised the film has not been outright banned.
Wow.
Wow. Well, we might have just sparked a movement here, getting people to rewatch it.
We might. I mean, I'm okay to admit when I'm wrong.
You know what? Jim gets it. Like, he was on In Living Color. He gets it, man.
Of course.
You seen his paintings?
I've seen his paintings.
No, I have not.
They're pretty good.
He's wild. He's a very outspoken anti-Trumper and makes a lot of surrealist, over-the-top caricature-esque paintings.
Right.
Wait, can I give a fun fact? I know something.
Yeah.
Do you guys know the budget of this film?
No.
I know this one.
Because you looked it up, right?
Yeah.
It was made for only $15 million.
Oh my God.
And guess how much it fucking made?
45?
75!
Oh, wow.
So your stat is a little wrong. It was made for $30 million.
Oh. No!
But 15 went to production, 15 went to Jim Carrey.
Shit.
What?
Is that part of the contract or was that?
Yeah, he renegotiated because his best friend who went on to direct the movie was like, yo, you should just renegotiate that.
Yeah.
You mean to tell me every movie budget that we hear includes the actor's salaries?
Yeah, of course. And a good amount of it is the actor's salary. Look at any Marvel movie.
That's what I was just thinking of.
A good quarter of that goes to Robert Downey Jr.
Even the ones he's not in.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's insane.
I don't know how I feel about that. I need a moment to sit on that. Because I feel like every time I've heard a budget for a movie now, I'm thinking how much is the actor getting versus the fucking AD or fucking DP or the person the grip and they're
way more. Okay, well,
certainly more.
Well, as an actor myself,
yeah, Garrick actually just got back from set.
As an actor myself, when I tell you it was the most grueling experience of my life, and that they deserve every fucking penny that they make.
Wow.
I.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Yes, and also pay the crews, because that's what's also happening right now is they're about to go fucking on strike.
Right, and a lot of the times actors will forego a good amount of their salary to pay the crew a lot more. But
If it's a tough for an actor,
imagine
being the guy that gets no fucking credit. Right. Or fame, or bitches, am I right, Rick?
No. No.
All right.
Well, guys, we could clearly talk about this movie for much longer, but we have a time to keep to. The big overlords are standing behind us. They're flashing the lights. They're saying, wrap it
up,
you motherfuckers.
You own this podcast network. It's you.
Hey. I'm not comfortable being in charge of anything.
who goes first? I feel like Rick and I don't know, actually. I'll go first. I might get in trouble for this. I think it's a pleasure.
Oh, man.
It made me laugh a lot. It's a guilty pleasure. It's a pleasure. Yeah. It's a very pleasurable.
Guilty pleasure. yes. I feel like, guilty pleasure 0.5 or some shit like that.
Yeah.
Where it's just like it created me. It is who I am.
And you hate your fucking you have generational trauma. Like we all, everyone fucking hates. Yeah. Their, like, yeah.
100%. There are some things in it, and I will accept them and ride for this movie so hard, because it's just so pivotal to my childhood.
Zachary?
Yeah, I mean, your guys' love is totally infectious. I unfortunately didn't love it as much as you guys did.
Oh, God.
Thank God we didn't get to that part.
Yeah.
I also, when Garrick started texting us clips of him, I'm like, why the fuck am I watching this alone? Because that's not what movies are.
I think
comedies and horror films especially, it's a social experience.
Yeah. And that's a beautiful thing, because it definitely brings you closer to anybody that you're watching it with.
Yeah.
Because you're like, look at this guy. Look at him dancing. Look at him on the floor crawling around.
And I'll be damned, now knowing what this means to Garrick, I will be quoting the fuck out of this movie around him. And it'll be the cheapest smile.
I'm not saying that maybe for Halloween I should do something.
You
should. With this new hair, I think I could rock a Jim motherfucking Carrey.
Okay, last year for Halloween, we were going to one party like it was an outdoor party and it was fucking COVID. So I'm like, I don't have a costume because why even bother? The world's ending.
Don't waste
money. Last minute we got invited to Keith's backyard. So we're like, all right, I guess I need a costume. I threw together some of Maggie's clothes and did a perfect Ace Ventura costume.
Oh, wow.
And had enough hair that I hadn't groomed to make the little spikes.
Yeah.
So I got some clothes I can loan you.
Nice.
I would like to see photos of that. And also I noticed that
at Corn Diddy.
Rick, you... You also said earlier gobbledygush, which is the only other person I've ever heard say that word is Maggie.
Oh, gobbledygush.
And I really like that. Yes. I've never heard anyone in my life say gobbledygush except for now you two.
I think it's gobbledygook.
Gook, yeah.
What the fuck ever. I like
gobbledygush. I've never heard.
That sounds like a weed.
Sounds like
gobbledygush.
Gobbledygush. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, guys, that is all the time we have for today.
I miss you guys.
But very importantly, we need you to rate the show. We need to tell your friends about it. Leave us a review. Please. It does help people find it. And really, we would love to know what movies you want to see coming up. We've got some ideas. We've got a whole spooky month in October to fill. Holiday season's around us. I think we're going to do a sequel sprint. That's right, ooh, baby. We're going to do sequels to all of the best movies that we've done so far.
Oh, shit.
But, you know, we're always open to suggestions.
This is news to me. I'm excited. Now you got me thinking about all the Christmas movies, too. Oh,
well, because here's the thing. December's like sweeps, right? That's like our bit, you know, when you put your heavy hitter. So I'm like, fuck yeah, let's do Twilight 2.
We should, like, get a bunch of drugs. We should sit at the Try Guys office, put a projector screen down. We'll make, like peppermint popcorn and hot cocoa, and we'll watch like seven peppermint movies popcorn? And then stay up all night and then just record seven episodes.
Oh god, I mean,
that sounds awful.
Yeah.
Objectively a terrible idea.
Sounds like a bad
idea.
You
guys don't want to sleep in like sleeping bags on the floor and hang out?
Do you want
us
to all be like delirious for an episode? That could be fun.
I think it might be fun.
We can do like a sleepover episode.
Sleepover episode.
I'm at Corn Diddy on all the things.
I'm Garrick Bernard on all the things.
I'm Kelsey Darrow on all the things.
Yeah.
And until next time.
Yes.